Hey there, welcome back to the podcast. This is Jonathan Edwards, and you're listening to Pure and Simple Bible. Now, we're in the middle of a really interesting conversation, and for me, it's interesting because I got to be the guest. I didn't just have to ask the questions. I got to answer them. And instead of it being me having a conversation by myself and answering the questions, I was interviewed on 5-Minute Bible Study, which is a podcast put out by Aaron Batty. And it's talking about pornography and its influence, its effect on people in the church, and how we can fight back against this great evil. Now, I decided to release both episodes together. Maybe you're listening to this one right after the previous one. If so, just know that I'm going to put the same introduction where Aaron introduces the podcast. And so if you've already listened to that introduction, when he starts talking, feel free to skip about a minute ahead and it'll jump back into the content. If it's been a while and you need a refresher, then I encourage you to listen to that introduction that Aaron gives us about where the conversation has been and where it's going. This is a conversation that I think is really important to have, but once again, if there are little ears nearby, just know that we speak very frankly about this. We do it in a respectful and an honorable and a biblical way, but we obviously want to give parents the opportunity to consider this message before little ears consume it, and I leave it to you, dear listener, to use wisdom and scripture and prayer to figure out what that means. Now, I'll tell you more about Aaron's ministry at 5minutebiblestudy.com after this episode, but let's jump into his introduction at this time.
So here's what we basically get into. I asked Jonathan what his thoughts are generally about the subject of, or the issue of, pornography in the church, how we've dealt with this historically in the past, good and bad takeaways from that, and then a special question that I really wanted to address for women and for girls. And that is the issue of porn as it relates to women. Is it a problem? How do we give counsel to this population group where it's deemed to be not a problem generally? But I'll just give you a heads up. We both agree that it is an issue for women in the church, and is it important to make those who do deal with it, make them feel heard and felt and understood, and just give them direction where very little attention is given. So I'm already giving away kind of the direction we go there. And then finally, I asked Jonathan, you know, what do we need more of in overcoming this sin? And when somebody does come to confess the sin, what do you tell them? So those are all the things that we cover in this episode. Without further ado, I know you don't want to listen to me anymore. Let's just get right into it. Here it is, the interview with Jonathan Edwards.
I think you brought up a great point, and that's how pornography does have consequences greater than just the fact of it being a sin, and especially in a marriage. Well, even before, like, if you've read, we both have read a book that we don't necessarily recommend that speaks to this a
sure.
lot.
We're talking about a spiritual book with information.
Right. I'm going to name it Every Man's Battle. And the reason we don't recommend it necessarily is because it sometimes gives you like more description than you really are looking for mm-hmm. in a spiritual book. Mm-hmm. But in that he talks about like even single men, like what you're doing with your eyes now is going to affect your marriage later. It has so much far-reaching consequences, more than just what people think about when they first get into it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. The top 10 videos in like 2022 were violent. And it's been that way for a number of years, where it's not just about some intimate act between a man and a woman. It's something unnatural. It's violent. It's degrading towards women. And if that's what's being consumed, the top 10 consumption, generationally, what is the view that young men are going to have of young women in a sexual relationship when they do get married? And what's their assumption of what that relationship ought to be? If it's based on what they have been consuming, then they're going to see this wife as a fembot who's just there for my sexual pleasure, and I get to debase her. When we've been called to be like Christ in the church, and therefore I ought to be loving her in a sacrificial way, not objectifying her. So that's, I think, part of the insidious, deadly consequences of modern porn use, is that it trains someone to view the human body as not a person, but mm-hmm. as a means by which I will
find the ultimate pleasure. And this heteronormative, sexual, monogamous marriage that's just stale and boring, like, I don't want that. I want the stuff that I'm seeing, mm-hmm. that everybody's experiencing. I'm going to bring that. Well, what that does is that ruins healthy sex. It degrades. And for a woman who needs to, you know, and again, we're speaking in very loose terms, but a woman who needs to feel close in order to have sex, if she's being degraded to nothing more than the means to an end, how in the world will she ever feel close to that man?
If you'd like to know more on this, I do recommend this seminar, which you can find free on YouTube, but it's better if you buy it because it, anyways, I'm not making money off this. It's better if you buy it because some of the video sessions are like, the audio is behind the video, but it's called Mark Gungor is the guy that does it. He's a Christian pastor, counselor, marriage counselor.
Sure.
And it's called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And he has a whole session where he talks about this issue and how pornography and masturbation in a marriage and outside of a marriage, how it actually has detrimental effects on that marriage, because it does circumvent the system that God created for man to be fulfilled by the woman and vice versa. So I would recommend getting that, watching it. It's like his maybe the fourth session in this 3-hour seminar. Really good, Mark Gungor.
You know, 1 Corinthians 7 is probably the least romantic scripture about a healthy sex life. And the reason I keep bringing sex up in a conversation about porn is just to validate and to remind us that God does have a plan for our bodies. And we've been bought with a price. Our body's not our own. And so we ought to honor him with our bodies. And that includes when you're single and when you're married. But that 1 Corinthians 7, that your body's not your own, it belongs to your marriage partner. And her body belongs to you, man, and woman, his body is yours. You know, and the idea is, people can't see it because it's a podcast, but I am now twirling my right hand in a cycle, right? And a healthy relationship, this healthy interaction, means that I am pursuing your needs, you are pursuing my needs. And it's beautiful, even when somebody may be hypersexual and the other one is very non-sexual, to pursue each other's needs is, I think, as rewarding and fulfilling as it gets, because there's a lot of emotional and mental connection, as much as there is physical stimulation in the relationship. It's the idea of, I care about you more than I care about me. And if both people are doing that, the young people say, that's fire, right? Like that, they call it, they say that is, it's really good. This is God's design. And what porn does is it says it's all about me. It's all about my needs. And yeah, you don't even exist. And maybe somebody else has already said this in the things you've recorded. This is kind of unrelated to our talk, but I'll make this point and then we can move on. The images, the videos, the whatever, that's somebody's daughter or son, that's somebody's sister or brother, maybe even husband or wife. That's a human being. And I've heard some things lately about something called ethically sourced pornography. It's this, you know, the latest craze to avoid, you know, the shame of what, the righteous shame of what pornography is. I'm just going to share you, and this is an opinion from the book of Jonathan 1 verse 1. There's no such thing as ethically sourced porn. Mm-hmm. Because even if people have, you know, made sure that the performers are not on drugs or are being, you know, manipulated, whatever, even if it's too consenting or whatever, the idea is that person is a human and it's not ethical to consume their body like they're a product.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I appreciate you bringing up that point. That's I agree wholeheartedly. Well, let's transition now away from talking about specifically women in this issue. Let's kind of get down to where we need to be moving toward in trying to fight for freedom from porn with other, sure, Christians. How do you think that, what, let me start that again. What do we need to be doing more of and, mm-hmm, maybe less of?
Okay. I think that we're going to frame this within the conversation of what is good and, you know, like Philippians 4, whatever is good, whatever is holy, whatever is lovely, think on these things, right? So as we talk about this discussion, like, it's got to be framed in a way that is appropriate. We're not just going to talk about anything and everything whenever we try to change church culture. But I heard one time, it wasn't about porn, it was about sexual behaviors that were not appropriate. And this guest on the show that I was listening to, some apologetics podcast, had been pursuing one type of sexual behavior for a number of years that was sinful, and then decided, or was convicted, and from, I don't know his religious perspective, but came to the Lord, per se, and then pursued a righteous relationship. And so the host says, how do you go from years of preferring this sexual behavior to preferring a different kind? And the man said, well, I actually still prefer that, you know, the original kind. I just know this is God's plan, and so this is where I ought to be. And so I had to get really strong abs. And, you know, I think I was out for a jog or something, and I was like, what in the world? And the host laughs, and there's this, like, awkward pause. What in the world does he mean, strong abs? And he then talks about the acronym.
Oh, okay.
Of accountability, boundaries, spiritual formation.
Ooh, that's good.
Now, I want to tell your listeners from Matthew chapter 12, there's a little teaching that Jesus does at the end of a chapter where he's been talking about, rather, he's been talking to religious teachers who won't listen to him. He has clearly shown truth. They deny that it comes from heaven. They say it's from Beelzebub. And so then he shares this little teaching at the end. I want to read it if it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Matthew 12, verse 43, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they will enter and dwell there, and the last state of the person is worse than the first. So also will be with this evil generation. Now there's context to that, and obviously Jesus is talking about these Jewish leaders, but what we can apply to this discussion is as follows. Somebody is struggling with porn. They decide to clean house, so they stop watching porn. They don't do anything else. What happens? It comes back like a beast, and kind of like this, an evil spirit bringing seven spirits more evil than itself. And it says the state is worse than it was at the first. How many can relate to that, where you struggled, you had a lot of shame, a lot of fear, a lot of guilt, maybe from others, maybe from self. And so you said, this is the time, I'll get rid of it, I won't do it anymore. And you're clean for a few days or a week or a month or whatever. But then it comes back with a vengeance, and the state is worse than the first. Why is that? And I think we could answer, and I think what Jesus is after here is that Jesus is telling these religious teachers, if you don't fill your life with God's teaching, if you're just an empty house that you've swept clean your morality, when that evil spirit comes back, it's not enough to save you that you just had your house clean. And so it is with the church and what we ought to be teaching each other about porn. We ought to be encouraging each other to have strong abs. You can't only do one part of that acronym. Accountability is essential from James chapter 5, right? But if accountability is the only thing you do, if you just confess, we're no different than a group that has a priest or a pastor that sits in a little box, and you go and you tell them, I did it again. Okay, don't do it again. And then you leave. That's not how you overcome. What about boundaries? We need boundaries, right? But if somebody only has boundaries and they say, I won't look at it anymore. You know what? I'm really good at, I'm sure you are. You can say this about anything. Maybe somebody's dieting or they're wanting to exercise. We're really good at convincing ourselves not to do it. Like we're motivated for a week, and then a week later, like, it's cold outside, I don't want to go for a run, right? And so suddenly I can circumnavigate, or I can get around the boundary that I set for myself. So if I only have accountability, it doesn't work. If I only have boundaries, it doesn't work. Spiritual formation is the key. One must be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. And so I'm actively going to this is to answer your question. What does the church need to do to fight Satan? We actively need to engage in accountability. Listeners, in your home congregation, there must be a culture shift towards accountability and confession that is mutual. And that doesn't mean that you confess to everyone all the time. It doesn't mean that we have testimonial time in our churches. But you need to ask yourself, is there at least one, I hope there's two, maybe even three, are there one, two, or three persons in this congregation that I could look at and say, I can tell him or her anything, and I don't have to worry about retribution of being vilified or snobbed at or judged inappropriately? We ought to have that. That's accountability. We ought to have boundaries. And I know you're going to talk several times in this month about software and other means to control that just burst of desire. If we could just control it, right, with a healthy boundary. But then the third one is that churches ought to be implementing spiritual formation where in the public assembly and encouraged for private studies, we're talking about what healthy, positive sex looks like. And that's, we don't talk about that.
Yeah. Like,
we only say sex is bad. What I've tried to advocate on your podcast and what I advocate with others is that sex is good.
Yes.
And what a difference that would have made in my life if I had heard, you know, everything I learned about sex, I feel like I learned from the locker room, mm-hmm. right? In middle school and in high school. And it was very much a me-driven, conquest-driven mindset of what sex was. If I could have had, and I know I'm projecting about just from my own experience, but if I could have had training on this very healthy, positive view of sexuality, then I feel like that spiritual formation could have been more helpful for me. Maybe it would have been for others. So really long answer, but listener, you need to have strong abs, accountability, boundaries, spiritual formation. Churches need to have and teach strong abs because, final point, from Galatians chapter 6, we've got backpacks and we've got boulders. We're supposed to carry our own load. That's a backpack. And then we're supposed to help one another carry burdens that we can't carry on our own. That's the boulder. Porn, for some people, is a boulder. And for other people, it's a backpack. The guy or the gal who struggles with pride of life instead of lust of the flesh or lust of the eyes, the guy with pride of life, it's like a backpack. I can go through life, I can see this, you know, image, and I can just walk away. That's a backpack. Others, it's a boulder. Lust of the flesh might be the primary lust. Lust of the eyes might be the primary sin that they struggle with. And so it's so difficult to lift that boulder alone. And so the ones, listen, church, for the ones who don't struggle with it, if your mindset can be, I will lift this boulder with you, so that when I'm struggling with my arrogance and pride and haughty attitude, you can help me with that boulder because I can't lift that one on my own. I've already proven that I think I'm too good. I need to be humbled. Maybe you can help me with that. Here we are mutually helping each other with our strong abs.
Can I steal your strong abs that don't even belong to you?
you have my permission to take that, which is not mine.
I really am going to use that. That was very good. I have one question of my own. I'm trying to make sure I understood the point spiritual formation. You use like the reference of teaching sexuality in a healthy, biblical-based sense. What else would go inside that spiritual formation category?
Well, I think any teaching that is going to draw you near to the heart of God, and I know that's very vague and it sounds like that's all the commands of the New Testament, but Matthew 12, I think it's connected to Matthew 23, where he is just blasting them for saying, you are whitewashed tombs. You look great on the outside. You're dead on the inside. You're full of dead men's bones, right? You clean the outside of the cup and the inside of it's all dirty. They were so hyper-focused with looking good, they didn't realize that the inside was going to damn them to a sinner's hell. I'm worried, and again, this is from Jonathan's subjective perspective, I suppose, but I'm worried that our culture, more or less in the United States, is going down a similar way if we're not careful, where issues like porn and other things that cause shame, fear, right, embarrassment, we just cover it up and let's have it all together. As long as you're wearing a suit and tie on a Sunday and you worship properly, then we don't really care about what you do the other 6 days. So spiritual formation is, specifically to this topic, yes, positive teaching about sexuality. But also, I think it is the mutual edification of one another on any Bible discipline so that our heart is not an empty house. It's a filled house. So when that evil spirit comes back, we are ready. We've got the sword of the Spirit. We've got the shield of faith on. We've got the whole armor. The devil's shooting fiery darts at us, and we are able to block those fiery darts. That's spiritual formation. And our churches ought to be advocating for that and not a whitewashed tomb type of doctrine.
So many good things in what you said. I wish I could make comments on all of them that are,
sure,
all are in unison, but I did have one little experience that kind of relates to, you were saying, being able to bear each other's burdens and empathize with people that struggle with this, even though you may not. I had my eyes opened a while back. There was a brother who's, he had been in prison. He had been involved in drugs and other things. So I've never been in prison. I've never, sure, been involved in drugs. I could not relate to the types of burdens that he's overcome. And so there was this, not a homeless person, but there was somebody that was needing money. And this person had proven themselves to be untrustworthy through multiple encounters and all that. And sometimes it's easy to get, you know, two strikes and you're out,
right?
You know, and just, sure, write them off. And this brother, you know, in the same conversation with me, he was displaying a level of empathy. And he wasn't trying to encourage this man's choices.
Sure.
But just simply saying, we're here when you want to, you know, change. We're here when you want to do what we've been telling you need to do, you know, just leaving that door open.
Right.
Whereas I have a tendency, God forgive me, for just wanting to close that door and say, listen, I've tried over and over and over. You know, this brother had experiences because people had written him off, I'm sure, in the past, and because, you know, what he's been through, that it really struck me. And I was like, it's because he can relate personally with that man.
Sure.
And if we could empathize like that on matters of sexual sin, especially older generations who may not have had the same experiences, but many have. We say the older generation, I say that, and forgive me, because older generation has dealt with sexual sin as well. It's just, oh, yeah, looked different.
The sexual revolution of the 1960s, our brotherhood took that on as pop culture around us was doing some things that maybe our country had never seen, you know, mm-hmm, in the history of our nation. So to your point, even though it may look different, whether it's the sexual revolution of the 60s or whether it be the porn revolution of the 90s, 2000s and beyond, we've all been fighting the fight.
Yeah. So yeah, I just, I agree with everything you said. Accountability, boundaries, spiritual formation. There'll be more about those things in the newsletter. Well, let's finish up with one last talking point. Number 5, if someone comes to you and confesses they have a porn problem, what do you, Jonathan, recommend to them? And what do you recommend others do? Now, you kind of talked about this, but
sure.
Here's the situation.
Well, before I directly answer it, I want to say, what ought we be doing as a congregation from time to time publicly? This is something a little bit new, and this isn't related to porn, actually. This is related to safety from sexual predators and trauma, et cetera. I believe that congregations ought to have, this isn't an ordained role. This is a Jonathan Edwards special, but I think we ought to have 2, 3, 4 people, male and female, who are known in the congregation as safe people who can advocate for you. And I think that once a month, whoever has the closing announcements on a Sunday morning can say, hey, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, will y'all raise your hand real quick? Okay, we want to remember that these are our safe people. And if you, if there's any abuse or any, we don't want to put thoughts in there, you know, we don't want to create a narrative for people to then, yeah, tattle. But It's like, these are our safe people. From time to time, they read books, they go to trainings, they do, and you don't have to have a piece of paper or a degree to be that safe person. It's just somebody who's known to be safe that would advocate. So I think churches ought to have those types. I want them in my home congregation. I've been advocating it in others. Those same people, we could say, raise your hand, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. These are our safe people. And just remember, if you're struggling with anything, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drug addiction, maybe it's porn, we want you to know that sometimes coming up front in the gospel invitation is, that's really challenging. And so you could go talk to them. Just know they're there. I think that's a great, safe way to address some very sensitive things. So that's, I think, before I answer your question, I wanted to bring that up.
Allow me to hit my like button on this social media profile. Okay, now proceed.
Sure, sure. Okay, so the question was, what do I do if somebody comes to me and confesses a porn problem? The first thing I do is validate that they're a human being. I know that may sound like goofy or maybe cheesy, but you don't know what it took for them to come forward. I don't know what it took for them to come forward. I don't know their family of origin or their past. I don't know who they're related to and how much fear they have that it's all going to fall apart. I don't know if their wife or their husband is going to feel like they've been betrayed for, you know, it's so nuanced. It's so complicated. And so the first thing, I don't care if you're a teen or if you're in your 40s, whatever. The first thing when somebody comes and says, hey, I have been looking at porn for years. I can't seem to get over it. Typically they're crying when, you know, or they're blushing because we don't talk about stuff like this, right? And then they'll say that, and the first thing I'll usually respond with is, thank you for telling me. I'm so glad you did. And I need you to know that you're more than porn. You're more than a person who consumes porn. I need you to know that. Do you know that? And typically they'll be like, yeah. And they'll kind of roll their eyes, or maybe they'll be, you know, like, wipe a tear away. It's essential to me, in a similar way that Jesus, in John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery, he did two very important things. He respected the law and wouldn't condemn her without the second witness, right? And then he held her to a standard, go and sin no more. So, friend, if you're listening to this and you're panicking that Jonathan doesn't, you know, smash them with scriptures, just know that I do hold people that confess that accountable. And I say, what can we do to make sure that you don't sin in this way again? But the first thing that I do is make sure that I'm not throwing stones at them, because they're probably terrified that they came to talk to me. The second thing that I do is I get somebody who is part of their local congregation to be an advocate for them. I go around to other congregations frequently. For some reason, people are more comfortable talking to me sometimes than they are talking to members of their own congregation. They feel like nobody here can know, nobody here. I think that's actually not healthy to say, nobody at my home congregation can help me, so I'll talk to this person who's 1,000 miles away. So what I do my absolute best is to say, who can you talk to here? The three of us, let's have a conference call. If I'm holding a meeting there, it's like, let's go get coffee with somebody. They've got to have local help. I have tried to do several things that were digital and online, and where I felt like they always fell short was that the ones who felt so embarrassed or ashamed that there was no way to talk to somebody local, they would flock to it. But there wouldn't be that accountability, you know, the strong abs, because we would meet and then they'd go back to hiding. And I don't think we ought to be hiding. And then the third and the final thing I might recommend for them is to seek, if it's an addiction or if it's a behavior that they feel like they can't control, is that they need to seek a local, either mental health professional or some sort of program. Now, I know our brethren may have a complicated view about like AA or Celebrate Recovery or other 12-step programs that are about addiction. And I understand maybe from a theological perspective that those places we might have pause or concern. I don't advocate for their theology. But many churches that I'm familiar with simply don't have a program. And what do you do with somebody who has an addictive behavior, they need help to overcome that addiction. And so I would recommend anyone use Psychology Today, which is like the white pages for mental health. And you can click on filters on the top, like Christian, make sure that they're a believer. If you want a male or a female counselor, and it will show you all the profiles of people in your area whom you could work with and talk to. And Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says that the heart of a man is like a deep well, but a person of understanding can draw it out. And I advocate that a counselor or therapist, even if they're not a Christian, has certain skills to help you overcome behavior addictions. And if you still feel concerned, I'm afraid they might try to talk me out of my faith. Just know this. I tell this to my clients every time in first session. I'm like a plumber. You can hire me. You can fire me. You don't owe me anything. You don't owe them anything. If a red flag is raised that they're trying to talk you out of your religion, then you just say, I'm not coming back, and you go find somebody else to help. But find help. That's the key. Find help.
Thank you. Very good. I don't know that I could add anything to that. I mean, we could talk a lot more about it, sure. Honestly. I have an episode on the podcast about accountability. Can't remember what it's called, but it's back there somewhere. And on that one, I talk more to people about how to be an accountability partner, which I right. think is important too, because I think I've been guilty of, you know, somebody comes to you, say, yeah, I'll be your accountability partner. Let's do it. But there's very little follow-up, and there's sure. almost this expectation that this person is going to come sure. to me rather than me going to them. There's more facets to it. So what Jonathan just touched on is really just the surface, mm-hmm. but very, very much needed, very good. I think if we'll start there, we have a good launching point.
I agree. And I'll tell people that, you know, repentance and bearing fruits in keeping of repentance, this is a lifestyle change. It's not I quit looking at porn, so now everything's great. You're going to reap what you sow. And that means you might have days, weeks, months, years of reaping shame, guilt, fear. Maybe if you're married, the betrayal that your partner feels that you've been looking at that, the lack of sexual intimacy that's come from that. You might reap what you sow for quite some time. But I guess this will be my final thought. Friend, if you start sowing a new, grace-filled, repentant lifestyle, and you can endure the fruits that you're still going to be harvesting from an old, sinful lifestyle, if your mindset can be, I'm going to keep sowing because eventually I'll start reaping that, I think is a lot healthier, practical, hope-filled mindset than to throw your hands up and say, well, I repented. Why am I still enduring these negative feelings or this negative relationship? That's because you're reaping what you sowed. Keep sowing a new way and it will change.
Somebody said, put your body where it needs to be and your heart will follow. I guess that would be the essentials of keep on sowing even when you don't see the immediate results.
Sure.
And your heart will follow.
Sure.
Well, anyways, yeah, we've talked for about an hour and I'm going to have to cut some of this probably to cut the little filler
sure.
stuff that really...
You're censoring me, Aaron. You're censoring me.
Yeah. I appreciate the time that you spent answering these questions. I think that if you're listening, you have something to go off of. Take this and just use it as a springboard. Mm-hmm. Read the rest of the newsletter and then look out for more resources from 5-Minute Bible Study. And look to Jonathan's podcast, Pure and Simple Bible, where I know that he's had a few discussions, like one recently with Russell Cope on sexual immorality.
That's right.
I was listening to that the other day. Very good. So he has some, you know, related content sure. to this and just a good podcast overall. So I would direct you there as well. Do you have any last comments, Jonathan?
No, I would just, well, how do you say no and then you have a comment? I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this newsletter. And I look forward to the way that the fruits of this impact people's lives. God bless you.
Thanks, brother. If you stuck around to the end, I appreciate you guys for listening. That was a long episode, but I personally thought it was very fruitful. It was definitely worth the hour of time that you invested in that. If you have any questions, if you have any input, like positive comments from this episode and from the newsletter generally,
please submit them to me. My email is ambatty@yahoo.com or battyaaron@gmail.com. Either one will get me. I would appreciate your feedback, as this newsletter, these podcasts, a lot of the work that I'm putting together on this will eventually go toward what my aim is, what my goal is, a book like my other books on 5-Minute Bible Study. And if you haven't read those or don't know about them, go to 5MinuteBibleStudy.com/books.
And now it's time for the Pure and Simple Bible outro. I wanted to give Aaron's podcast the, I guess, time that's due, right? Because he deserves to get to tell you about what's going on. I want to second what he just said. You should go to 5MinuteBibleStudy.com and check out the resources that he has there. Aaron has done a really good job of tackling this issue in a holistic and tenacious way. Aaron wants us as Christians not to stick our head in the sand, proverbially, when it comes to pornography, but rather to attack this issue, because the devil is not going to let our people go, and we need to be prepared for that fight. So go check out the stuff that he has. This conversation was recorded in the fall of 2023, so whenever you're listening to this into the future, I believe that that content's going to be available at his website, so go check it out. Now, here are a few things that you could do for me. First, I would love to have your prayers. Thank you for those who do so, and I just ask you to please encourage me and lift my name up to the Father so that I could have the strength and the determination to keep Pure and Simple Bible going. If you want to encourage this podcast in a financial way, I am asking for those who are willing to do so to check out patreon.com/pureandsimplebible. There's a couple of options there for you to consider. And I always want people who listen to this to go check out the website, www.pureandsimplebible.com. Always remember, God loves you very much, and I do too. Lord willing, see you soon.
Well, I'm here to tell you a story that is true, about a judge by the name of Gideon. He was a man like me and you. Well, Israel was in some trouble.